Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, we're going to start a brand new chapter in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And we're going to expound verses 1 through 9. Praise God, praise God. Let's get our screen ready right now. Let's go here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Christ Has Made Us Free. Christ has made us free. So let me just pause there for a moment. Paul is now coming to a conclusion in this epistle that he wrote to the Galatians. But one of the things that he is going to convey to us tonight through the Word of God is that Jesus, who came to this earth and was born of a virgin and lived and walked among us for 31 and a half years, for about 33 years actually, and for 3.5 years, he preached the gospel. Praise God, praise God. And when he died and rose again, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, a good 50 days later, after he rose from the dead. And now we have the born-again church. For 2,000 years, God's been pouring out his Spirit, and millions of souls have been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to let us know through this message that Christ has made you and I free. Meaning, because we have repented of our sins, praise God, praise God, and we turned our life over to him and surrendered, well, when God saw that we repented and he quickened us to do so, then right at that moment, the blood of Jesus was put upon us, and that eradicated the sin from Adam. And so once the blood covered, now the Holy Spirit came in to live inside us. And so, my friends, we are set free. We are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. Oh, that's right. These temporal bodies that we live in is just that, temporal. And we're going to have a spiritual body, a body that will never die. It'll be eternal. And we will live forever with him. Praise God. Praise God. That's why Paul is going to mention in this chapter that Christ has made us free. He made us free from the law. He made us free from all the denominations that are taking place even right now as we live. He eradicated all that, and we're going to be living with him forever. Praise God. How many can't wait for that? Well, I'm excited. So let's dig into this study tonight as we do another expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept, book by book. And so if you're there, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 9. And here we go. Let's go here now. And it reads, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." There we go. "And do not be entangled," look at that, "again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." Look at verse 3. "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law." And he was referring to the Judaizers. You have fallen from grace. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's the new body that we talked about. Look at this. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Wow, there it is. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him, capital H. That means the Lord Jesus Christ. Who calls you? And then he goes on to say, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we're going to see, saints of God, we're going to see, praise God, and break this down. So let's start with verse 1. Stand fast. Hallelujah. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, my friends, we have freedom from slavery to our sinful desires and to the Jewish law. Aren't you so blessed? But the freedom came at a great price, and we know that. In order for us to enjoy ultimate freedom, someone had to set us free. Praise God. And that someone was Christ Jesus. Praise God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints of God? Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at a scripture that I found here in John 8:30. Look at this. It goes on to say, and he spoke these words, many believe in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. They answered him, hey, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Uh-oh, here we go. Jesus is breaking it down. Look at this in verse 35 and verse 36. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Praise God. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. And that, he sums it up in a nutshell right there. And when he says son, that means sons and daughters as well. All of us are included in the family of Christ. If you've been born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we are his and we abide in his home forever. Praise God. We're not just a servant that comes and says, okay, God. No, we are now joint heirs with Christ. How many are so blessed to know that you are a joint heir? Everything that God has given to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our God, has given everything to us as well. Praise God. You see, saints, because Christ has really set us free, we should what? Remain and stay free. Christ has set us free from the legalistic formulas from God's judgment, praise God, that was upon sin, and from all man-made rules, and from the subjective experiences of fear and guilt. Praise God, praise God. My friends, we are to live it out, practice it, and rejoice in it, praise God. But to turn back to the law and to try to earn what Christ has already given mocks this sacrifice. Praise God, praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 2. Look at this. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will what? Profit you nothing. You catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? You see, Paul gave a serious warning, and he didn't want any of his hearers to miss it. If the Galatian believers were to follow the Judaizers' teaching, counting on circumcision to make them right with God, the tense of the verb reveals that the Galatians had not yet taken the step, but were considering it. Then Christ would not be able to help them. How could this be, saints of God? How could they just turn back to the law, back to legalism? I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm here to let you know, stand strong in the power of his might. Hallelujah. And the Lord will see us through. He'll see us through the through miraculous deeds that He will do for us. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, what could be the harm in circumcision? Well, obviously men could be circumcised, but more than circumcision was at stake. Paul was confronting the Galatians because they were trying to fulfill the Jewish law. You see, my friends, insistence on circumcision had become the most prominent feature of the Judaizers' thinking. They taught that the gospel needed the Jewish law system to make it perfect, but not so, my friends, not so. But God's way was different. Can I get an amen? Salvation through Christ by grace alone was sufficient for God, and it's sufficient for man. Can I get an amen in the house? Saints of God, we can't mix and match works and grace. God has an exclusive arrangement. Praise God. And the Galatians were about to be circumcised as a requirement to complete their salvation. Praise God. But Paul explained that by that very act, they would be saying that Christ's sacrifice by His death had not been enough to save them. Wow. Wow. So this is what this letter is all about. This is what this chapter is all about. Is that Christ has set us free from the law and through legalism. Praise God. Let's now move on to verse 3. Look at this. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You catch that, my friends? Are you catching that? Look at this. Choosing circumcision would cause them to lose the value of the free gift of salvation given through Christ. And it also would have another devastating effect. Choosing circumcision would mean law-keeping, legalism. Wow. And to choose law-keeping meant that one must obey all the regulations and the whole law of Moses, which is impossible. So impossible, saints. Paul might have well repeated his question. Did the Galatians have any idea what they were, what their choice to obey all the Jewish laws would entail? They had no clue. Because we got to remember, as we've been reading, a lot of the Galatians were not Jewish. They were Gentiles. But yet the Judaizers infiltrated and wanted to convert them back to Judaism. You see, my friends, chances are the Judaizers had not spelled that out just yet. And they may have told the Galatians about some of the food laws and about the festivals and holy days, which were good. But that doesn't save us. It's God's grace. But see, saints of God, to any Jew, circumcision was the first act of obedience to a law that would, from then on, rule every detail of his life. And this is why Paul had to come and make things right, make things straight. You see, my friends, did the Galatians understand that the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws? Wow. Wow, my friends. Look what the book of James says right here. Look at this. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Impossible. Impossible, my friends. Impossible. And look what the book of Deuteronomy says in 27:26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. And all the people shall say, amen. You see, back then, they couldn't even keep the law back then. They had no power. First of all, they had no power. They weren't born again. And this is why they had animal sacrifices. But when Jesus came on the scene, my friends, once and for all, Jesus died to set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You see, my friends, by becoming circumcised, the Galatians were submitting themselves to an entire system of that doomed them. It doomed them to failure. Praise God. Praise God. And so just remember, any kind of religious organizations that have rules and regs, I call them CC&Rs. You know, my profession is real estate. And when a person purchases a condominium townhome, they get a pamphlet so big Those are called CCNRs. I call them covenants, conditions, and restrictions. Well, that's what legalism does in the church. It puts all these burdens of rules on their backs. And yet, if they fall short, they'll even go as far as saying, I don't think that person's saved. Wow. Wow, my friends. Be careful, be careful. Be careful. Because if you're breaking man-made rules, go to God. Just go to God. Say, God, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you that I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Thank you that I'm heaven bound now and there's a hell to shun. Saints of God, those of you that are listening right now, don't get duped. Don't get duped in man-made rules. If there's rules and regs, boy, I'd pray about getting out of that and find a place that'll teach the unadulterated word of God. Praise God, praise God. So now, let's go to verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have what? Fallen from grace. Wow, Paul just spells it out bluntly. Bluntly, saints of God. You see, those who try to make themselves right with God by keeping the law are in fact cut off from Christ. Wow, wow, that's right. God allows no middle ground. It is Christ or law, not both. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, anyone deciding to be justified by law has fallen from God's grace. You see, Christ cannot save those who persist in saving themselves. Paul's words should not be taken out of context to mean that salvation can be lost. No, grace did not mean salvation, but refers to the means of salvation. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, to decide on legalism as the way of salvation is to fall away. Oh yeah, for all these rules and from grace. It's like throwing away the life preserver when lost at sea. Wow, wow, my friends. So let's move on to verse 5. Look at this. For we through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What is Paul referring to here, saints of God? He's talking about the new person. That's right. You see, my friends, in this short verse, Paul gave his doctrine of justification by faith. We all believers, even the wavering Galatians, live by the Spirit, not through anything we can do so that it can be done by us. No. And not through the law, eagerly wait to receive. We don't work for righteousness. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? We wait for God to grow His righteousness in us. And everything promised to you and I, saints of God, is a certain event that has not yet occurred who are right with God. Christian perfection that God helps us reach in our lives is God alone and Him. And there, we cannot give man any credit. Can I get an amen? Everything that we have received is but by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Many of us were lost without a cause. Many of us, God went through the highways and the byways to find you and I. Oh, that's right. You got to remember, saints of God, we were called. We were elected. We were chosen. We are now a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And now God has raised us up for such a time as this to proclaim, hallelujah, to pronounce, to preach, to teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead others to the cross, that God would save them from the guttermost to the uttermost. Saints of God, this is the time to be the church and not play church. Can I get an amen in the house? Someone give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. For God is doing something mighty in our lives. And so, my friends, saints, just hear this out. You see, God in His glory through faith in Christ and His faithfulness, not in works or even the strength of our believing. Hallelujah. The word faith and spirit provide the keys to this verse. For these words separate the Judaizers' approach to God from the Christian approach to God. Look at that. The Judaizers emphasize and their emphasis was on circumcision and showed that they were trying to gain salvation in the flesh. Oh, my friends. But Paul pointed out that Christian faith comes by the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Judaizers' emphasis on the law contrasted sharply with Christianity's emphasis on faith. Christianity's basic doctrine showed the Judaizers to be wrong and dead wrong. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Let's move on to verse 6. Look at this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God did not beat us up and dragged us to the cross? Through his loving kindness, he gave us repentance that drew us to the cross. Praise God. You see, saints, if Paul clearly told the Gentile Galatian believers not to be circumcised, what would he say to the Jews who are already circumcised? You see, Paul made the point that it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not. That's a moot point because we're circumcised of the heart. We're circumcised by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? Look at this right here I found in Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. And look what it says in Galatians 3:28. This is our previous chapters. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Woo! Somebody got to give God a shout. Wow! Look at this. In Galatians 6:15, we're going to catch that a little later. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Praise God. And that's what we are, saints. You and I, we're brand new creations. Praise God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul's conviction rested on the importance of it all, meaning to place our faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Each aspect of salvation and every component of the life we live after conversion are rooted in Christ. Oh, that's right, saints. So what does it matter? Paul didn't hesitate. What is important is faith expressing itself through love. And to the faith discussed in chapter 4, Paul added the clarification that it must be faith expressed in love. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God loved us? He drew us. For God so loved the world. What? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was God who initiated his love to send his Son to die for you and I. You see, saints, we are saved by faith alone. But for these Galatian believers who seem to want so desperately to work out a salvation by works, Paul was saying, okay, work, but don't try to earn your salvation. Praise God. Instead, let your salvation by faith result in loving and kind works done to serve others. So when we go feed the homeless, we pray for the sick. Yes, it's a type of works, but we're not doing it to gain any merit. We're doing it because we love Christ, because we love the Lord, and we want to see mankind come to a place of repentance. And the one way is an act of love toward them. Go in and pray for them. Giving them a bag of groceries when they need food. Oh, that's right. Putting your arm around them and say, it's going to be okay. Pray for healing and restoration, that God would deliver them, those who are bound up and possessed into that alternative lifestyle, that God can deliver. Oh, that's right. God can deliver. I don't care what you're involved in. God can deliver you and set you free. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. You see, my friends, genuine faith in Christ is expressed in love for others. Praise God, praise God. So, let's go now to verse 7. Paul is now telling the Galatians, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you? You see, saints, the Galatian believers had accepted the gospel of salvation and were living out their faith. And they were getting along so well. But despite their good start, someone had interfered, holding them back from following the truth. And although, saints of God, Paul asked who had done this, he already knew the answer. Oh, that's right. That's right. Paul knew that the problem was the Judaizers. Paul warned the Galatians that the Judaizers, instead of helping them along, basically were actually hindering their faith. Instead of opening up new truths to the Galatians, they kept the Galatians from following the truth. Wow. You see, my friends, the Judaizers, those evildoers, represented the interests of Satan. Wow. And they wanted to keep the Galatians enslaved to the law and derail the new believers. Wow, wow, wow. That's right, saints of God. So now, let's go to verse 8. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Look at this. In other words, this was not Christ or the Spirit of God operating in the Galatians to fall away. Oh, no. It wasn't Christ. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Saints, the Galatians needed to realize that it was not God who was holding them back. For he had called them to freedom. He had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, that's right. He went looking for these people because he had called them before the foundation of the world. God had called the Galatians, my friends, but he had called them to salvation by his grace, not by their works. Oh, that's right. Look what the book of Romans says right up here. In Romans 9:11, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? You see, before the foundation of the world, God already knew our names. God had already made a sovereign choice. It was nothing that we have done. We weren't even born when he chose you and I. But in his foreknowledge and in his mind, he already knew us. He already saw thousands of years down the road. Oh, that's right. And he knew you and I that would come into the saving knowledge. And he knew that we would stand in these last and evil days for him. Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what it says. Let's read that again, because this was a powerful verse. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Just to prove a point, saints of God, we're reading these scriptural manuscripts, this epistle that was written 2,000 years ago. None of us were born then. And yet, we're reading the mind of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, written by these holy apostles that God set aside to inform us, to edify us, to build us up in our faith, that we would see the past, that we wouldn't repeat error in the future. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Oh, yes, we do. Look at this. Look what I found in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Praise God. Praise God. And look at this verse. He who calls you is faithful, who will, look at this, who also will do it. That's right. God's going to complete what he started in us, saints of God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know what God has started in you? He will complete it. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this. Nothing will interfere in the plan of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against you and I. If God be for us, who could be against us? You gotta understand that once he has called us, and once we have been saved by his grace through mercy, we are his forevermore. Can I get an amen? The gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. You and I, God has established us on this earth for purpose. There is purpose in your life. And the purpose of your life is to preach the gospel, is to go out and win souls unto the Lord, that you would lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, that you would speak a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that God would use you. Hallelujah. Like no other time in the history of your life, that you would edify and build up those who are going through. There are so many family members and friends and acquaintances that are going through terrible times right now. Some of them know God, some of them don't. But God has called you and I to be a light before them, that we are to stand strong in the power of his might. Hallelujah. That God would use you, that God would edify you and build you up, that God would use you to speak, hallelujah, life into those who are dying spiritually and physically. We are to go and speak life, that God can save them from the guttermost to the uttermost. You have to believe, saints of God, that God has called us for purpose for such a time as this, that we would be able, hallelujah, to continue to do the will of God. Even through our own affliction, even through our own turmoil, even through our own tribulation, that God would still use us and that you would want to be used despite of our situation at hand. I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And what God, hallelujah, if he's in you, who can be against you? Praise God. Praise God. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. For he's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you love Jesus? I'm in love with him. I didn't know him at the age until I came to the age of 30 and he drew me to the cross. It's been 33 years now and I have not regretted one moment. I wouldn't change this life in for any other life. Why? Because I am his and he is mine. The Bible says, if you abide in Christ, he will abide in you. And he has abided in me for 33 years now. He has never left me nor forsaken me, praise God. And he's never done the same to you. If you are a true child of God, born of the Spirit, heaven bound, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And saints, I can't wait because he's coming soon. How many believe he's coming soon? Praise God. Praise God. So we have one more last verse to break down. And it's in verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's right. This leaven, this type of sin, came from the Judaizers. You see, my friends, yeast is put into bread to make it rise. And it takes only a little to affect the whole batch of dough. Jesus used yeast as an example of how a small amount of evil, basically sin, can affect a large group of people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it can. Look at the nation today. It's in turmoil. My goodness, my goodness. You see, my friends, I love what Matthew wrote here in Matthew 16, 5 through 12. Look at this. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, he was talking about spiritual things, but let's continue with this story. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Uh-oh, they're looking in the natural. Jesus is speaking in the spiritual. Look at this. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, all you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Look at this. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are you catching this? Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. There you go. You see, saints, even one wrong person among the Galatian believers could affect all the others, putting the entire Galatian church at risk. Saints, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We're still in a place in time. The year's 2022. And there's thousands of denominations thinking that they have the truth. But one of the things that I've noticed is the prosperity gospel. They will not teach truth. They will not talk about sin. They will not talk about heaven and hell. They won't talk about the condition that people are in at church. They want them comfortable in their sin. They don't want to convict through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're afraid to lose people. They're afraid. All that matters to them is that they drop something in that offering basket. My friends, it's time for Jesus to come now. It's time that Jesus will set up his millennial kingdom here on earth. Why? Because there's so much evil. There's so much disarray. There's so many things that are taking place in our society, in our world, and the governments of this world. Many of them are demon-possessed. Oh, that's right. A lot of the laws that are taking place right now favor murdering kids, agreeing to licentiousness. We're seeing the morality is basically going down a slippery slope. And God is soon to come. Very soon, Jesus is about to return. Oh, that's right. How many can't wait? How many can't wait? You see, my friends, when Jesus comes, he's coming in the clouds and he's going to take us home. How many can't wait to go home with him? Listen, I'm just saying this as a thought, not a fact, but a thought. On September 26th, is Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And it's a two-day feast, 26th and 27th. Yolanda and I will be on a flight on Rosh Hashanah, flying to Arkansas to visit our family. And I've been saying, God, while we're in the air, if you're coming on Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to pull us from the ground. We'll be already in the air. Just take us from the plane. You know, when I shared that with a couple of other saints, they giggled and laughed. And I said, yeah, that would be something, huh? But I'm saying, God, if you're coming on the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, then God, do it. I think a lot of us are ready. We've seen the world falling apart. But yet, it's falling in place. Oh, that's right. It's falling in place. Because you said in the last days, turbulence, tribulation times will come. And we're seeing it all. Matthew 24 spells it all out. We are in the pre-tribulation stage right now. And we're seeing wars, rumors of wars. We're seeing famine. We're seeing many things right now gone spiritually wrong, especially in our nation. God has to come now, and he has to set up his kingdom so that he can rule with a rod of iron, and that the saints of God, you and I, the Bible says, we will rule and reign with him. And so we're not just going to be up in clouds on a harp, floating and eating marshmallows. See, that's what the world thinks. That's a picture of the unsaved mind. No. God is going to use us in the millennial reign. And for 1,000 years, there will be peace on this earth like no other time in the history of the world. and we will come up and worship the King in Jerusalem. I can't wait. I can't wait. And these new bodies that He gives us will be changed, and we will be like Him. We'll have the same body. See, Jesus, when He rose again, He was the prototype. He was the first to have that type of body. And God has promised that same body to us, you and I, believers of the Most High God. And so, these next two scriptures I'm going to show you refer to the Feast of Trumpets, because the final blast occurs during this wonderful ceremony that takes place once a year. But many believe this could be the one where He actually comes and takes His bride home. Let's look at this verse of scripture found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And it reads, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Praise God. Last verse here. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." These should be words of comfort. But you know what? I've noticed there's a lot of people that are like, they're just like Lot's wife. They haven't letting go of this world. They believe that this world is the best thing that they know. And they have no faith to believe that the next world that's coming, it's far superior, far greater, beyond comprehension. And yet, Lot's family was told not to look back. And who looked back? His wife. You know, I said it in a joking way, but she probably had a nail and hair appointment, and she had to look back because it was close to the hour to do so. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Wow. Wow. Saints of God, be ready in a heartbeat. Don't be tied into this world. Love your family. Do the practical thing. Still work. Still pay your bills. But look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because once the trumpet blasts, we're gone. Praise God. And we will rejoice with Him forevermore. To me, I keep that always in my heart and my mind, that He's coming for us soon. Praise God. And yet we still do the practical thing that He's called us to do. We're to raise those up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We are to minister to the lost. We are to minister to the unsaved. Oh, that's right. We work in the field until He comes and gets us. We don't go put our head in the sand like an ostrich and let the evil just pass by us. No, we stand in the evil day. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shield of faith. That's right. Take the sword of the Spirit. Gird your belt with truth and your feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. The full armor of God in these last and evil days. Stand, stand, stand against the darkness and repel it. And God will watch over us. God will complete everything that He has called us to do. Because God makes no mistakes with us. And so something miraculously is going to take place soon. It's going to be the greatest event that this world will have ever known. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, these bodies of flesh cannot go into heaven. And so Paul lays it out to the Corinthian church. Let's go there. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does what? Corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die physically, but we shall all be changed. There it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Praise God. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow, there it is. The next greatest event. Many believe it could be this Rosh Hashanah, September 26th and the 27th. And if not, we wait another year. Praise God. But I'm convinced God's going to take His church home on the Feast of Trumpets. That's right. And then the tribulation will begin. 7 years of horrendous times throughout the world. And the last 3.5 will be the great tribulation. Saints, we're seeing everything before us. It's time. It's time to wake up from our sleep and slumber. My friends, if you're watching for the very first time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is speaking to you right now, God is tugging you in your heart, God is saying, hey, I've called you to myself. Wake up now. Listen, if that's you, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you choose not to take heed to His voice, and you say, well, maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. Do not saints, pray for them right now. I just feel God praying for someone right now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ now. Because if God comes for His church and you have not yet surrendered, what you're about to see, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come.
My friends, this little video clip is one of the most impactful little short stories that have a whole lot of truth. And I pray that that's not you who was left behind as the church is taken into glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that you would surrender your heart, that you would repent and give your life to Christ. You see, the very first sermon given to the apostles was on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls got saved. This was the message. Luke wrote it down in the book of Acts. Acts 2:38-39 reads, then Peter said to them, repent. That means make an about face. Turn your back to sin and turn to God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your mind. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. That's it. That's it, my friends. That's it. Listen, all you have to do is surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now to pray with me, to pray for you. And if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I'm going to ask you to cry out to God right now. We'll lead you right now, but we do not do the saving. God does. We're the bridge. That's it. We're the only ones that will point you to the cross. You have to cry out. You have to ask God to forgive you. And so if that's you and you never done it, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise. Someone just got saved. And if that's you, down below, right there is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number, our email is there. We want to give you a Bible. Place one in your hand and lead you and point you to a church there locally, wherever you're at, that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, thank you for joining me this evening in our midweek book by book, chapter to chapter, verse by verse Bible study. I'm so blessed. I'm so honored and privileged to teach you every Wednesday night. And we're going to be in the book of Galatians next week. Praise God. And so I want to send out our benediction and that God will bless your evening, the rest of your evening. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, I can't wait to see you this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. We're going to have beautiful worship, and God will prepare a word for each and every one of us. So, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we love you, God bless you, and we will see you this coming Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Good night.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.